How's it going, aviators? It's me, Holly Bellino, and thanks for joining me today on another episode of The Aviator's Guide. I know y'all are probably expecting another episode of my mini-series, Ways to Build Flight Hours, but we're going to come back to that later, and today we're going to take a brief segue and roll into yet another important topic for aviation. Back in episode 8, I covered all the details required for you to get your private pilot license. So it's time I did the same for you guys who have already started or who are about to start your instrument rating for the airplane. That's right, I know you guys have been wanting it, so here it is, how to get your instrument rating, which in my opinion is a straight up awesome rating and one that I think every pilot should have even if you don't want to fly for a living. But this episode isn't just for you pilots out there working towards your instrument rating. It's also for you instructors out there to help you make sure that you hit every topic, every flight hour, and every endorsement you need to make sure your student is not only technically ready, but qualified for that check ride. Some of you, students and instructors alike, may be thinking, my flight school takes care of all this stuff. Why do I need to know? Well, I'm glad you asked, guys. I have actually been finding that there are a lot of pilots out there whose instructors have not been appropriately helping them keep up with all of their endorsements and qualifications for the check ride. So as an applicant for that check ride, it definitely wouldn't hurt for you to double check that you are qualified for said check ride. Because it's better to verify than find out on your check ride date from an irritated DPE that you are not qualified, wasting his time, wasting a check ride slot, and pushing back your schedule further, meaning you have to wait longer and you have to pay more for review flights. According to SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, there were over 50,000 check rides canceled in 2023 due to students not being qualified for them. Meaning the students did not have the proper endorsements, hours, training, and or the aircraft wasn't airworthy. Don't let that be you. As an applicant for that practical test, aka the check ride, you need to understand what you need to have done for the big day. As instructors, don't be that CFI. Don't let your students down. They rely on you for everything from training and studying to motivation and preparedness. Be an advocate for your students and be someone that they can trust. And I know you guys definitely have not forgotten what it was like to be in their shoes, so don't leave them hanging. As I go over all this information coming up, I will be summarizing and interpreting the information from the FARS, which can be quite convoluted as some of you very well know. And that's why I included the links in the show notes so you can check them out for yourself. Now remove your chocks and your tie downs and buckle up because we're gonna get started. Starting with the basics from Big Brother, AKA the FAA. To apply for an instrument rating, you have to have completed 8 items. You have to have a current private pilot certificate or be simultaneously applying to one at the same time of your instrument rating. You have to be able to read, speak, write, and understand English. You have to receive and log ground training or have completed an at-home study course such as GLIME, King Schools, or Sporties over the required aeronautical knowledge topics. And really quickly, those topics are the FARS or Federal Aviation Regulations that are regarding IFR or Instrument Flight Rule operations, the contents of the AIM or Aeronautical Information Manual applicable to IFR operations, ATC or Air Traffic Control Procedures for Instrument Flight Operations, IFR Navigation and Approaches, IFR En Route and Approach Charts, Aviation Weather Reports, Recognition of Critical Weather and Wind Shear Avoidance, Safe and Efficient Aircraft Operation under IFR, and as always, ADM and CRM, or Aeronautical Decision Making and Judgment and Crew Resource Management, which I know we've talked about before. To apply for the instrument rating, you must also have an endorsement from an authorized instructor stating that you are prepared for the knowledge exam, aka the written test. You must pass the knowledge test. Unless you already have an instrument rating, then you don't have to take it again. You have to have received and logged the required flight training from an authorized instructor. And that required flight training encompasses pre-flight preparation and procedures, flight by references to instruments, navigation systems, instrument approach procedures, emergency operations, and of course you can't forget your post-flight procedures. It's all in the ACS, guys. The last two items you need to apply for an instrument rating are you have to have an endorsement from an authorized instructor that you are prepared for the practical test, aka check ride, and obviously you have to pass that test. That's the last thing. Did I say last thing? Oh wait, there's more. Just like when getting your private pilot certificate, the number of hours that you need will vary depending on if you're at a Part 141 school or a Part 61 school. Let's do a quick overview of the differences, shall we? And like always, I have the links for the details of these in the show notes so you can look them up via my favorite website as an instructor, ecfr.gov. But for those of you who don't really understand, Part 141 is a curriculum-based training that has to be approved by the FAA, where Part 61 is more of a contract-based type of training where any authorized instructor can complete it for you. Now, that doesn't mean that Part 61 is super unorganized and that you're not going to have a curriculum when you go to a Part 61 school. It just means they're not required to have one to follow by the FAA. A lot of Part 61 flight schools make a curriculum to make sure they cover all the topics required by the FAA. In regards to Part 141, for an initial instrument rating, you have to have completed 30 hours of ground school covering the required aeronautical knowledge topics that I mentioned earlier. If you are going for an additional instrument rating, you only need 20 hours of this instead of 30. But when it comes to Part 61 training, there is no number of hours that have to be completed to cover the ground knowledge. You only have to have the endorsement stating that you've covered all the appropriate topics. For required flight training pertaining to Part 141, you have to have 35 hours of flight training for an initial instrument rating, or only 15 hours of flight training if it's an additional instrument rating. And up to 50% of that time can be done in flight simulators, depending on the simulator, of course, because there are a lot of different simulators out there. If you're feeling masochistic and want to dive into more of the differences between simulators, I have a link in the show notes to an advisory circular, or AC, that will tell you all the differences and more that you could ever want to know about them. I also found a government website that states which simulator type each simulator manufacturer makes. And by type, I mean ATD, FTD, AATD, BATD, FFS, all that good stuff. It's a great website to use to make sure you're using the correct simulator for what you need to get done. Now for Part 61, the flight requirements are a little bit more than just 35 hours as they are in Part 141. One, you have to have 50 hours of cross-country PIC time, of which 10 hours of that must be done in an airplane for your airplane instrument rating. And since you only need 10 hours of that to be done in an airplane, that means you can use other flight time you have, say in a helicopter, towards that required 50 hours of cross-country PIC. Two, you have to have 40 hours of simulated or actual instrument time. And by simulated, it just means you have to be under the hood, wearing foggles, blockers, or one of those ridiculous visors. And 15 of those 40 hours must be done with an authorized instructor with an instrument airplane rating. And three, you have to have completed 3 hours of instrument flight training with, you guessed it, an authorized instructor in the preceding 2 calendar months before your check ride. Another requirement of both Part 141 and Part 61 is for you to complete a cross-country flight within your instrument training. But of course, the items included in said cross-country flight are slightly different between Part 61 and Part 141. Part 141 states that the flight must be performed under IFR, which I can only assume it has to be performed in simulated or actual conditions, whereas Part 61 explicitly states that you have to file an instrument flight plan and perform the flight under IFR. And CFIs, I'm sure this goes without saying, but just make sure your students know how to file and cancel an IFR flight plan. And remember, you cannot cancel it via for flight. For the cross country, both Part 141 and Part 61 require you to do an approach at each airport, that 3 different kinds of approaches must be done with use of navigation systems, and that the cross-country must be 250 nautical miles. The only other difference is that Part 141 requires that cross-country to have one leg that is a straight line distance of 100 nautical miles. Part 61 don't care. And there you have it, guys. Those are the requirements to get your instrument rating. Some people think that the instrument rating is one of the harder ratings to get because it is very precise, but that precision required can clear up a lot of the gray area that tends to exist in aviation. But once you finish, whew, it's nice. What a relief. You got your rating and you're done, right? No, you're never done in aviation. Now you not only have to stay proficient to be safe, but you have to stay current to be legal. That's why we have another fun mnemonic device to help us remember how to stay current for instrument. So in addition to needing your biennial flight review and your 3 takeoffs and 3 landings in the last 90 days, if at night, 2 a full stop, in order for you to carry passengers, you will also need 66 hits. 66 hits? Sounds painful, right? But it's really not too bad. You just have to complete 6 instrument approaches with holding, intercepting, and tracking using navigational aids in the last 6 months to stay current. And I have the FAR listed for this in the show notes if you want to dive deeper. To make it even easier to knock these hits out, this currency can be done in an FFS, full flight simulator, FTD, flight training device, or ATD, aviation training device. But if you do that, the approaches have to be flown in simulated instrument conditions all the way down to minimums, your DA or MDA. For an approach to count while in the aircraft when flying in actual IMC, or instrument meteorological conditions, you have to be in actual IMC until the final approach segment prior to or upon reaching your DA, decision altitude, or MDA, minimum descent altitude. If you're flying VMC or visual meteorological conditions, you will have to be under the hood to simulate IMC, meaning you will have to have a safety pilot. And just like you would in the simulator, you will have to fly that approach all the way down to the DA or MDA under simulated conditions for the approach to count. Now for your safety pilots, you can't just go grab Bob from down the street, see if he wants to hang out with you for a day. They have to not only be sitting in the control seat, but they have to have a valid medical as well. And they have to be rated in the category and class of the aircraft that you're flying. And their name has to be logged with the flight. Well, what do you do if it's been more than 6 months and you haven't done your six hits? Well, according to FAR 6157 Delta 1, you have an additional 6 months to get those six hits in. However, you can no longer fly by yourself using instrument flight rules because you are no longer current. So what do you have to use, guys? A safety pilot. Or you can just go hop in a simulator. I included a link to an FAA letter with all these details in the show notes, so check it out if you'd like. What if it's been 12 months and you still haven't done your six hits? Then you will have to get an IPC or instrument proficiency check. Any authorized instructor or DPE can do this for you. And I'm sure y'all are barely hanging on at this point, so I'm not gonna bore you with all the details of what has to be included in an IPC. But you can find what's included in the IPC by going to the Instrument ACS to Appendix 1 in the back, and it tells you right there. It specifically lays out which areas of operation in that ACS are required for the IPC. And that right there could be an instrument check ride question, so make sure you know where to find that. And while you have the ACS out, go ahead and review it. That free book is literally a play-by-play of what to expect on your check ride, so take advantage of it. Other things I recommend you do before your check ride are to, of course, know the questions you missed on your written exam, know how to use your TPP or Terminal Procedures publication, and study the Pilots Cafe IFR Quick Review Guide. If you haven't heard of that, just go to pilotscafe.com and you can get it for free. This document is a great study guide for you guys for your check ride. However, it is not an FAA resource, so you technically should not be using it on your check ride. The resources you'll want available for your check ride are ForeFlight, the FAR AIM, which is free with your ForeFlight subscription, and you can also use ecfr.gov that I mentioned earlier, the TPP, or Terminal Procedures publication, also free with your ForeFlight subscription, the Instrument Procedures Handbook, the Instrument Flying Handbook, your PHAC, obviously, or your Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, and maybe the ACS. And those last four items can all be found for free on the FAA website or in your ForeFlight. And there you have it. Bada bing, bada boom, there's your instrument rating. Y'all let me know if I missed anything, but I think I covered it all. And to help you further, I even created an instrument rating template to make sure you guys have everything covered that you need for your check ride. I was a Part 61 instructor, and I used this template to show the DPEs that I in fact covered all of the required ground and flight training, and they loved it. And the link for that template is in the show notes. But now it's up to you to put in the work, get your instrument rating, tap that like button, share this episode. Hey, share the whole podcast on YouTube while you're at it. But only if you really enjoyed it and found it helpful. I aim to please. And as always, don't forget to follow my podcast and subscribe to my YouTube. You're already here, so why not help a lady out? Keep calm and study on, and I'll see you later, aviators.